The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I really like this, Matt. We have a lot to recap. Ooh. But I'm very psyched about today's show. We're going to recap, of course, all of the fights. What an amazing night of fights it was. And we're going to recap. 280 was incredible. You were over. We did our watch along, which was so much fun. But we get to recap 280 with one of my favorite people. One of my favorite people is joining.
Thank you. Thank you.
No. You are my favorite person.
Oh, you mean another?
Another person who is a favorite, but not as favorite as you.
He really is great. And I don't like sports at all, but I really do love the legend. Go ahead.
Michael Irvin joining us for the for however long he wants. And I'm a big Cowboy fan, or I was. I don't really watch football anymore, but I love Michael Irvin. Very few people have brought me as much happiness as Michael Irvin. So I'm always thrilled to talk to him whenever he is able to talk to us. I'm happy he's a UFC. He's been to like five major events as well.
Jimmy, why would the Punisher, why would they change the logo? Remember they used the skull?
Because they wanted it to look like the Predator. It looks like
this
the Predator.
The skull of the original Punisher. That's bad fucking ass. That's Frank Castle.
Yeah, and they changed
this
it to.
This is the new Punisher. And it's got a, it looks like kind of like a something out of Game of Thrones, squid-like. And hey, not a fan.
You could bring Michael in whenever you want, Luke. Yeah, here's what I think, Matt. I'm wondering if it's because they wanted to sell more merchandise. Sometimes teams will do a jersey or they'll introduce a special jersey. And you know what it's for? It's to sell them because their fans will buy a bunch.
It's like the new Superman. Nobody liked that back in the day. You know, nobody liked that.
No, but the Cowboys did that at one point where they introduced – and I'm going to keep it in football because Michael's coming in. But I remember they would have their home uniforms and their away uniforms. And then they had one that was like almost introduced from the Don Meredith era that had like a star, I think, on the shoulder. And it was like a throwback. And I think they kind of kept it.
Well, first of all, Mike ain't coming in. Mike ain't coming in. Mike is in.
Mike is in. Oh, right, we don't see you.
Mike is in. But why don't you see me? I want you to see. Wait. Okay, listen, I'm taking them logically. Okay,
there you are.
There I go, baby.
You look the same as when you played, Michael. It's so good to
you
see you.
Great. Get out of here with that, man.
Let me ask you, Michael. We were just talking.
Wait. Come on in. Come in. Just come in.
Good. I hope it's Aikman or Emmett. Who's coming in?
It's just the guy downstairs is dropping off my packages. Stay over there and leave that out of it. Stay over there. I appreciate it. We don't need all these people knowing everything.
We don't need to know what you're getting dropped off. You could tell us off.
Yes. He got my sandwich from across the street. Because remember, I just got off air. And then I wanted to come here and hang out with you guys. I take Daniel downstairs and come out and hang out with you guys, especially if we talk at UFC.
Oh, we are.
I know y'all seen my tweet when I tweet, right? On Saturdays, sometimes I'm home, right? I get to watch. I'm never home. I'm in LA getting ready to work, right? So what I do in my suite, I get one TV. I put them side by side. I got the UFC fight on. I got some football on.
Yeah.
And then I'll be tweeting out, I said, I got both of my loves right here in a room with me. I said, I got double teamed on the football field. I should be double teamed in my hotel suite.
That's right.
With two loves. Just like I did on the football. I have UFC and football. It don't get any better than that. Gladiator sports and the real men playing these sports. Now, I will give you guys this. I say UFC first, coach. Woo, it takes something, boy. It takes something. It takes a different type of man to do that, man. So I honor every man that does it. I honor him.
Now, Michael, did you ever, because Greg Hardy obviously played football and then fought. Did you ever have any inclination to do it? Did you ever take any type of training?
Yeah, I worked out. I worked out at a guy Messler's gym over in LA, in Dallas. Worked out over there a lot. Worked out, you know, did a lot of MMA training. But the fight, when I left NFL because of my neck, you know, I hurt my neck, broke my neck, was paralyzed and everything. And then I tried to find other doctors that could say, okay, Michael's fine. I still thought, I can even pay you for this recommendation. If you can just tell everybody I can still play. I can pay you for the recommendation. Like, dude, you can't bribe me. You can't bribe me. I can't give you no recommendation. I got to do what, you know what I'm saying? But that's how bad I wanted to play. Now, as much as I work out and train UFC and I want to do those things, Man, I don't know if I have the heart or the courage to do what those guys do. That's why I love watching it, man. It's the most incredible thing in the world because we learn. Let me tell y'all something. This is, we learn about who we are when we watch UFC. You don't know. And there's an old saying that says this. Only those who have risked going too far knows how far he can really go. You see, UFC pushes our body to a place, and you see men doing things you had no idea your body could do. Your body could fight back from that kind of situation. You got that kind, all of that stuff, man, is so inspiring, man, so moving that I just fall in love with watching.
Matt and I watched this last event together.
Yes.
On what did you think, Michael? I'm sure you watched it. Matt, I'll ask you too. The Piotr Jan Sean O'Malley fight. What did you think of that decision? I thought it was unfair.
Dude, are you asking me or are you asking Matt?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm asking you, Michael.
Michael,
I want to get on that now because I love O'Malley.
Yeah.
And I see his star power. I see his star power. And I know with Conor McGregor, and we don't have John Jones, and that star power, the mean stuff, because people run to that, and they want to see it, and you want that on the. But boy, that fight there, woof! I thought that fight edged out the other way.
Yeah.
I ain't saying it was a big margin, but it was an edge out the other way. When you had what do you have, 6 or 7 takedowns to 0? You're 6 takedowns to 0. That fight edged the other way, but I did think, it was close. It was close enough, and O'Malley's such a big name and all of that and such a big draw, and I understand. And you know what I love, though, guys, in it all? Because he has nothing to do with that.
Right.
His job is to go out there and do all he could, and that's what he did. He ran into a hard man. But you know what I love? O'Malley was like, if everybody wants us, damn it, we'll do it again. If you ain't happy with this, we'll do it again. Now that, I said, okay, that's my dude. I'm all right with that. He went up there gloating, bragging, with that. He said, if the people want it, we'll do it again. That's all. That means if the people aren't happy with the decision, let's go, let's buckle down and do it again. That makes me love him. That makes me love him. And that removes him from the decision. He ain't had nothing to do with that. So don't get mad at him. Don't get mad. You want to get mad at the judges, you can do that. But when he made that statement, I said, okay, dude, I'm still with you.
Matt, yes. What did you think as a fighter, Matt? Because I thought O'Malley almost knew that he wasn't happy with that.
That he lost.
What did you think, Matt?
He felt that a little.
Well, this is what I feel. I know it was close. Now, Jimmy, you were there with me live. And
yes.
I'm actually going against the grain. Where watching it live, I did think O'Malley deserved it. Now, let me tell you what. I mean, I just rewatched the first round. I didn't get to watch the other two rounds again. I will just to make sure I'm not crazy. Because everybody, ever since then, I've been watching, and everybody's, oh, the reaction to the, it's a robbery. One, I don't think it's a robbery.
No, not robbery.
Matt, I didn't say a robbery, man.
No, not you. Not you.
It wasn't a robbery.
Not you, the great.
Right.
Not you, the great Michael Irvin. I'm saying
on Twitter, yeah.
Popular opinion, okay? But when I watched it, the first round, even though he got those takedowns, it was very little was done. No significant strikes on anything on the floor. And when O'Malley got back up, he threatened his own takedown, which got to all fours, got behind him, didn't get a position. But the significant strikes in that first round, I remember thinking, okay, I could easily give that to O'Malley, or else. But I see how people could give it to Jan.
Yeah.
The second round where they both hurt each other, where is that? Talk about significant damage. That cut, that wasn't done by accident. That was a knee to the skull. So let's talk about damage. O'Malley, he got hurt in that second round. He got dropped. But so did
Jan. Pyotr Jan.
First with punches, and then that knee that cut him open. So listen, I mean, you got to dissect each round. So it's very, I looked at damage and I looked at significant strikes. And with those takedowns, there was no Aljamain Sterling type beatdown down there. There was just a control time. So I don't know. I might be the one guy that's saying I can see how.
I'll watch it again. Like you said, together.
No, and see, that's why it's so great to get that information. Because you know, I'm looking at it, and no, you did. You went back and watched. I didn't go back and watch it. I'm looking at a first glance, and I'm gonna tell you something. Sometimes the reality is, as we talked about, he's the phenom and all of that. Sometimes your own, the aura, your own persona works against you. Because now we want to see O'Malley come in here. And if you have this kind of tough fight, well, dog, we expect you to be a knockout artist. He's supposed to be on the ground. We can't give you the victory. You see what I'm saying? So it starts working against them as well. I want to see you be a knockout artist. I want to see that. I want to see you be able to come up with all different kinds. But boy, I want to see you dig down deep and grub it out. I want to see somebody make you fight. Somebody make you touch that kid in you before you can be the king in you and make you say, oh, snap, what the hell are we doing down here? And fight your way out of that. You see what I'm crazy. I'm down, but that's what I want to see. So I can appreciate when I see a guy with all the hype like O'Malley fight. I can appreciate, and get this, and Matt, you appreciate this. When I see a guy like John Jones get taken to the limit with Gustafson, you see what I'm saying? Because that's what I made that fight tantamount to. I was like, man, that's kind of like the John Jones Gustafson. A lot of people thought Gustafson won that first fight. You see what I mean with John Jones? So I was like, wow, watching it. But man, I can appreciate when you take a champion in deep waters and he shows deep down inside that is champion in me. So I like that too.
And can I just throw in there as a guy that was in there, and maybe I could like compare it to maybe when you're on the field, Michael, right. And you're not thinking about all the I'm sorry, I'm the worst with football, but maybe the passes that you're thrown or caught, you're thinking of the ones you missed or the ones that you didn't land.
That's all you do, man.
That's all you do.
That's what runs you crazy, man. I can't sleep at night after the game. I had 210 yards. Of receipt, that record against Arizona. I had 200 yards against Deion Sanders in the NFC Championship game. I can't sleep at night. I'm grabbing the vodka and cranberry because I'm thinking about the three or four passes that I did not catch. Never the ones that I did get. It's always the ones I did. Yes, man, I could have not cut.
Well,
it runs you crazy.
Well, that's why you're as great as you are, because those things bother you. But so after the fight, I remember this fight that I won, where I'd go to my corner and I'd be like, yo, I remember every time I got touched, every time I got hit, every time I missed a takedown. And I'm like, are you sure I won? Then I go back and watch it. I go, oh, cool. Yeah, I won. But so you're right, especially right there, you're so in the moment. I really think that Sugar, I really praise his honesty. I like Sugar.
Yeah, me too.
I like O'Malley's honesty. You know, I'm going to have to, it's a blur. I mean, is it, because not only is it so intense and you're in the moment, you're also getting punched in the head and thrown. And so he's got to literally, I liked his honesty, but
he didn't feel good about it. He didn't feel good about that win.
He didn't feel good about it. And you gotta like that. You gotta like that. You gotta like that.
I think he was unsure.
Yeah. Right. But Matt, that's educating what you just did. Cause I don't remember all my hits. You see what I mean? I don't remember them hits, man. And I'm like, as a matter of fact, I don't remember any of them, man. Not any of the big ones, you know.
Yeah.
And you guys, let me tell you this, and I digress, but I don't. But even to that, when I say I don't remember the hits, and it's why I just so love and admire fighters, you know. We see people, they get on NFL play, they put them back in the game with a concussion. Like, you know, and everybody goes in outrage about that, like what happened with the Tua situation. I'm like, I remember when we were playing.
Yeah.
You would get knocked out. You go over, they put smelly salt and get you back in the game. I done went back in the game and caught some touchdown. Wait, you know what I'm saying? I done it. I know this is real. So when people are like, oh, it's so crazy, you know. And that's what I mean when I started this off saying that we don't know what these bodies could do. And watching UFC sometimes, it blows my mind the depths that we can go and fight with this body and this instrument that God has given us. And I learned a lot of it through watching UFC. I can't tell y'all how much I appreciate it, Matt, how much I appreciate you guys and all you do, man. And if I'm driving down the street and I'm somebody cut me off, the first thing I look at is his ear.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Yo, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize. I apologize, man. I don't want no part of it.
You don't want to tangle with the cauliflower ear. That's very smart.
You don't want to tangle with that, man. You do not want to.
And Michael, you've been to some, I've been to a few events too. And I mean, more than a few. And I really, there's nothing like it. Is there a moment, what is the most, the most stunned you've been? For me, it was the Weidman knocking out Silva in that first fight. I was there for that. What for you, is there one that was stood out as the most shocked you were?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because I was there too. I was there, my birthday March 5th, and we always get a fight around March, you know what I mean, right around March 5th. But I was there the first time Diaz beat McGregor. Mm. I was there. I went and partied at McGregor's, at Diaz's after party, even though, you know, I was thinking McGregor was going to win. But I went in there, and that was one of those moments. Because remember, Diaz was supposed to be the next mega star in the NFL, and Conor came and snatched that from him at that time. So that fight was, chump, you took what's mine. I'm coming back to get what's mine, and Diaz took it back that night. I was there. I was like, oh my God, this is so insane. This is incredible. You know, it was a beautiful, beautiful fight to be at, man. I just enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Got a chance to go. And I'm a Conor McGregor fan. I'm a Diaz fan, you know. I like a lot of great fighters, like Cowboy. I like a lot of great fighters, but I got a chance to hang out with them a little bit and enjoy some of their victory. And it was a great moment. Because I like a guy that goes and fights for what he believes. And Diaz did that. Diaz got hurt a couple times in that fight, but still came back and got a chance to choke him out. You know what I mean? So that was incredible for me. That was my live moment, even though I've been there. I was at the Johnny Jones also. At Johnny Jones, with Jones and Rashad Evans fought. Dude, that was you remember that fight?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah, because they were close, yeah.
Right, and they were boys then. And that's the first time I saw Johnny Jones. Remember Jones, he was holding, and then he was bam with the elbow. He kept doing, it was like he messed, and he bam, he hit Rashad with an elbow. I was like, oof, boy, that was, that was some nasty stuff, definitely. That was some good stuff, man.
I want to discuss, and I'm happy, and I'll tell you why I'm a little annoyed, but I'm super happy for the great Aljamain Sterling.
Yes,
me too.
Now, I'm kind of incensed. I'm going to try to control myself here. I love
show some love for going in that fight with that tour shoulder, with that not, shoulder falling off.
Michael Irvin, I'm going to say this with all due respect. F that and F him. Wait a second. Oh, I would have won the Super Bowl, but I had a torn fucking labrum. No excuses.
You think he should have gotten out of the fight?
I'm not yelling at you. I'm not. Michael, I must yell. I must yell. Zero excuses. Built-in excuse. A built-in excuse. Hey, DC. DC gets in the cage. What's the first thing he says? Hey, you know, during the week, you had something to tell me, huh? Is this what you had to tell? Really, DC? DC, I love you, but really? How about don't start the fight with a freaking front kick or a side? You left the kick out there to three Mississippi. You deserve to be thrown down and have your arm come out. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Boo! Boo, you cheater! Boo, you steroid user! Listen.
He doesn't like TJ, Michael.
Karma is a son of a bitch. He had a 2-year suspension, right? 2 years.
Right, 36, right, right.
36 in this kind of game, and you're an athletic fighter like TJ Dillashaw, who's a great fighter. He's in and out like Achilles. 36 might not be the same as 34. And now you're not cheating. Now, so what do? We lose. We talk a big game. We lose the fight, or if you get taken down, the arm comes out. Why is it get taken out? Why is your arm out of the socket? Because you got taken down, okay? Treated like a baby, easy money for Aljamain, but yet he's not getting the due respect he deserves. That's all I want to say.
Yeah.
And Aljamain's been doing this thing for a long time and doing it well at that level for a long time. I agree that he still doesn't get the love that he deserves.
Yeah, setting.
Yeah, that TJ thing, it is something now. Because, you know, the fact that he did tell DC that the shoulder came out in the shoulder came out, that kind of says something. You know what I'm saying? But he's an old man. I'm an old man. I understand you. I thought, man, maybe you should have, you know, just stepped away from that fight, gave somebody else a chance, then could have healed. But I don't know if he thinks he wouldn't have gotten another chance at that fight. You know, so yeah, that was a hell of a thing right there. But I'm glad for Aljamain because he deserved it.
Michael, do you like it? This is what I get the impression I get about when you watch MMA. Because when you watch football, and you're obviously a Hall of Fame receiver, you know how they do it. Like, as much as they're great players, you watch football probably differently than the average person. Do you like watching MMA because it lets you also, like, you just react like a complete fan? Like, how the fuck do you guys do that? Like, almost like the way I watch football, you get to enjoy MMA. Is that part of it for you?
Yeah, it is a great part of it, but what's a big part of it is I try to share with some people, and when I talk to other athletes, other football players, or other fighters, like me, I say we're different in this sense, and I can garner things from any one of these dudes because we're different in this sense. Most of the world is going to stand in front of a computer or some keyboard and punch their way to the top of their game. Most of the world, so whatever skill they have. Bam, they're going to punch their way on that keyboard to the top. All they have to do is work on their skill. But in football, like in MMA, it's not just about your skill. Since you have hand-to-hand, man-to-man combat, we have to monitor our skill and our will. I have to want it more than you, too, because I'm going hand-to-hand, man-to-man. I'm not in front of a damn keypad. I got to go get it from another man. This is what I love. I love another man going up against another man saying, I want to feed my kids more than you want to feed your kid. We both want to feed our kids, but I want it more. The skill and the will have to comply. They have to come together. They have to commingle in our business because it's hand-to-hand, man-to-man combat. If you only sit on some keyboard or give some orders, don't come telling me what it takes if you have never had to look in another man's soul and take from him. I don't want to hear what you got to say. That's all I'm saying. That's why I listen. I listen to Matt. But there ain't no anybody talking to me because you haven't had to look in another man's soul and take. That's what I'm just saying. That's all.
And
that's
it is that part of it, too, that's interesting. Like, that feeling. Bobby Fischer, when he talked about chess, said one of the things that he loved was that moment where you feel the other guy break. Like, you feel him just break right. Under the weight.
Hey, you're right. That thing that got, I say it like this. I say, if I attack a man's weakness, I could beat him. But if I attack his strength, I can break him. Just like that. And that's what you're talking about. And if I think I'm going to see you 2 or 3 more times this year, I'm going to try to break you right now. That's the whole thing. Because we're going man to man, in the hand, combat. That's what I'm talking about.
Matt, is that the way it is too for you? Just when you feel the guy wilt?
Well, I'll tell you, it brings me back to my Frank Trigg fight. And even though he was tagging me, he hit like he had pillow hands. And I remember connecting with his chin.
Man, stop, man. You can't say that. Oh, you can't say that.
Michael, he doesn't like him.
Michael, he was a bully. And when I was chubby, he used to like call me like a keg, and he called me Snooky from Jersey Shore. So I always attacked him. Was, you know, so I remember when I connected with the chin and I saw the lights in his eyes just go out, and he let out a and I'm like, oh. And then yeah, defeated, deflated. It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling.
It's a great feeling.
Jimmy, gets that feeling when he kills his audience in that stand-up.
No, but as they're walking out on me, I'm getting that feeling because they've beaten me. They've defeated me. They've broken my will as a performer. But yeah, that's the interesting part. So I guess when you're playing against somebody, you feel when you know you have them. I don't know what exactly for you that translates as, but I guess you just know it from being, you know, hitting a guy every play.
And I'm going to tell you something, man. Honestly, what we're talking about is something you're going to chase the rest of your life. You know, why do you think when you see Tom Brady and guys like that, you know, it makes it so hard to leave? Because we're built testosterone. That's the fighting fluid that God put in us. Estrogen is what's in, you know, it's a caring fluid. But we are built to be fighters. And there's nothing like that hot of walking in. You know, I have 52 guys with me. And we're going to impose our will. And that's why I'm so drawn to the UFC and MMA, because I walk in with 51 other guys or 52 other guys. You're walking that ring by yourself. That's even purifying what I'm doing. You see what I mean? You're walking that ring by yourself. This ain't no tag team. When I get tired, I can reach back and tag. When I get tired, I tap my helmet, bring in the other receiver. He's not as good, but I'm gonna get a break right now. You know what I mean? But you can't, you don't do that. So it purifies the purity of the competition, even more so than football. That's what I'm so drawn to. Now, the reality is you afterwards, and this is when I look at the Tom Brady situation, you spend the rest of your life trying to feel that void once you no longer do it. And you'll find that nothing else fulfills it like that. You try to substitute some things, like I do on TV, trying to make another locker room for my guys. But ain't nothing like going to impose your will in that sport of football. And I can only imagine what it must be like in the MMA when you purify down to one versus one.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered, it's brought to you by Love Hemp. They're the official CBD partner of UFC. Life can be a challenge, but we all strive to live it to the fullest. Love Hemp is one of the leading CBD brands, loved and trusted by professional athletes worldwide, with a multi-award-winning range, over 40 CBD products, including oils, edibles, capsules, and skincare, all of which are designed to fit seamlessly into your daily routine and support optimal health, wellness, and recovery. Whatever challenges you might be facing, Love Hemp is always in your corner. Love Hemp, Love Life. Available across Europe via lovehemp.com. Coming soon to the U.S. What did you do right after you left football? What was there a period of like grieving, or what was it like right after that, like when you don't have the practices, you don't have preseason, all those ritual things that you had been doing for all those years? What's your first move after that, and how do you feel?
Well, first you fall into some craziness. You fall into whatever my bishop used to talk about, boys and toys, you know. He called boys in their toys, and we all are boys. We all have our toys now. Our toys are our temptation of our youth. You know, temptation of youth. That's an acronym, toys, temptation of our youth. So when we get in a place of uncertainty or unsure, then we fall back on our toys. Boys fall back on those toys. And you know, and when I'm uncertain, I'm unsure, and I don't have direction, I fall back to my toys, then that could be a dangerous place. And that did happen for me. because what I was doing, I had football. Football gave me that regimen. And then when I lost football, I didn't have anything to go and compete. Well, I fell back on all my toys. And then I didn't no longer have that discipline and regimen. And I would say, wow, man, I guess I'm not as strong as I used to. You know, I used to be able to play and then get an off season and have fun, get crazy. March 5th was my birthday. March 7th, that next week, that's when we start training, usually the second week in March. I could have a big party, and then that's it. Then I'm starting training, I'm done, that's it, I'm training. All my focus is on training. I ain't got time for all that, you know. So I thought, wow, how can anybody get caught up in this stuff and that stuff, drinking and hanging out? It's not a problem with me. I never knew. All I was doing was switching addictions. One addiction to another. When they took football and I didn't have anything to switch to, I said, oh, snap. You know what I mean? I would be like, it's the last weekend on my hangout. That's it. I'm tired of this. I'm not going to do it. And then next weekend, I'm sitting around like, what the hell? You know what I mean? You go through about three or four of those and you realize, this is what them people were going through. I'm so sorry I put my mouth on them. God, please help me out of this situation. I don't know. You know what I mean? So it brought me that reality. Every man, if we don't have direction, we don't have purpose, we're going to fall back on our toys. I don't care who you are, where you are, what you did. You're going to fall back on your toys. So it's best for us to stay directed.
Yeah, that's a good way to temptation of youth. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. And I'm when I'm alone and I have nothing to do, there's problems. When I'm scheduled and I have a lot of stuff to do and I'm busy, I'm good. Yeah,
you're great.
I'm good
too. You're great. And the Bible talks about idle minds and devil's workshop and all of that. And since we are so, most of us are all hunters. We're hunters. They tell you, hunters, study when I studied a lot of the mind. Because in communication, I want to know, the communication is two parts, not just what one says, it's also how one receives. So I want to study the mind and development of the mind and how it works. And the reality is we're hunters. We want to go out and make it happen. They tell us the best to partner with farmers, people that can do the everyday thing, the bother with all things every day. But see, I can't do it. I got to go find out what's next to conquer, what's new to conquer, what's next to conquer, what's new to conquer. But as you find things to conquer, you have to put them in structure and give them to the people that do the everyday thing as we move forward. That's why, you know, like I'm a hunter. I want to hunt, but I have to make sure I'm hunting good because I'm 100%er. If I'm hunting good, it's going good. If I'm doing bad, I'm going to be hunting bad. I'm going to still be 100%.
Michael, in all fairness, myself and you, we're hunters. Jimmy's a gatherer.
Well, someone's got to gather.
If this was ages ago, me and you would go out with the spears and we'd get us some dinner. And Jimmy would he'd wash the dinner. He'd get everything ready. Jimmy, right?
No,
he'd boil the water.
I hunt differently. See, you guys hunt one way. I ride around in my car with money hunting for a hooker. That's how I hunt. I hunt differently than you guys.
It's not bad toys. Michael, bad toys.
Yes. Temptations of youth. I certainly understand that.
Temptations of youth.
Yeah, I hunt differently.
Right. That's a hell
yeah.
Let's talk about a true hunter in Islam Makhachev.
Yeah.
I mean, on paper, two phenomenal fighters in their prime of their careers. Charles Oliveira, who's shown that he can take out the best guys in the division. And everything, the question that I need answered was, how are they going to be on the floor? Well, Islam showed. He showed. He said he was going to break him.
He did
break him. Because Charles, he knew that choke was coming. I'm not saying he gave it to him. But he was basically like, okay, if you want to, and I want to word this the right way because I don't want to be disrespectful because I really respect him and he is a warrior. But if you, when the going gets tough in there, if you want out, you're going to find a way out. Now, I'm not saying he said, take my neck, please.
Right.
But believe me, he knew that choke was coming. And for as long, it might have been 3 seconds, it might have been four, it might have been two. But when he had him there and he had him locked up like that, he already had in his mind, I'm tapping to this. I might get
Well, that was that reputation. There was that reputation, Matt. And And when you look at the difference between Volkanovski when Ortega had him in that third round, and it looked like he was going to kill him, and Volkanovski survived it. So I guess, yeah, there is, there is a way to survive those things. I was going to say, if you have the skill, they all have the skill.
Jim, what Matt was talking about was what you talked about earlier. In fact, you know, when you're going up against that dude, when he just wilted and he just gave up. And that's what Matt's talking about.
Yeah.
And I saw that with Charles Oliveira too. I ain't lying, Matt. That was something new too. Because I saw the Poirier fight, the Gaethje fight. When he got caught, he was like, I'm still winning. I still felt he was still winning. That fight right there, that fight, like he felt like, no, this really is the second coming of Khabib. This really is now. And he willed it. He willed it. I love Charles Oliveira. And I know disrespect to him. And he does some stuff. He does shit I ain't going to do. And don't even talk to all y'all people who, when I say that, going to say, Michael, you'll never do it. I already say it. I ain't going to never do it. So don't try to call me with that mess. I already self-indicted. I ain't doing it. So I give him all the respect for doing it. But I'm with you on that, Matt. I watch men. I watch men's spirit. That's why I'm so drawn to it. And I got the same sense that you got when you saw that fight. Now, speaking of that, I'm going to tell you this too. I kind of got that sense with Paulo Costa when he was going to Alessandria.
Yeah.
That first Alessandria fight. I got that same sense. When I see Paulo Costa, when I see him fight, I'm like, oh, dude, I see you do the right, with Hall, right, Hall, all of my dudes. Dude, that ain't the same dude I saw. I had the same feeling when I saw that fight. What do you say, dude? Did you not, what do you say to that, Matt?
I 100%. I agree with you 100%. And that's a great fight to point out, because you're wondering, why isn't Paulo Costa going after him like he went after Romero, who's dangerous? Why he went after this one? Why he ran after Uriah Hall, who's dangerous?
Right.
I'll tell you why. Because something's happening in that cage that nobody's picking up except for those two. Just like you don't know it until you feel it. Charles Oliveira, his safety blanket, his safety mechanism, when the going gets tough, oh, I'm wobbled, I'm going to my back. All right, you don't want to come down here with me because you know you're in trouble.
Right, nobody did.
But this guy did. Islam, not only did he.
Right, you're right, Matt.
Not only did I drop you, now I'm following you down in your world, which is really my world, and now I'm going to beat you at your own game. And he did. He that was.
Oliveira went down there and said, come on, but he's recovering. You won't even jump on him while he's recovering. He's recovering. You ready? Yeah. And then, come on up. But no. Boy, hey, listen. Khabib Jr. said, no. I'm a dive in this water. Don't sweat it. Boom. He dove right on in and finished that fight.
And with Costa and Israel, I almost think that mental thing started before the fight. They had bumped into each other, and there was a weird interaction between them. And it wasn't confrontational. I think they were very nice to each other. And I always thought, like, Costa got thrown by that. Like, he was thrown by the fact that Adesanya's confidence was legitimate and Adesanya wasn't afraid of him and it wasn't a put-on. That interaction, I think, really changed the way Costa saw Israel Adesanya.
Dude. And you know what? It's so funny you say that, dude, because I liken it to Tyson in Holyfield, too. And I thought that's what Tyson recognized. Oh, God, I'm in here with Holy, this dude. And this dude ain't scared like everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's why Holyfield, he didn't have to bite his ear and all of that out of frustration. But it's the same thing I sensed watching that fight. Right there, what you just said. I'm going to shut up. I'm a football player. I'm going to shut up.
No, but I'm sure you sensed it too. I'm sure you yes. Everybody was afraid of you. I'm sure everyone was scared of you. There had to be somebody you came up against who you sensed like, oh, okay, this guy is much more of a challenge than other guys. This guy's mentality is a little bit different. You must have experienced that.
Oh, yeah. You go up against a guy, but it's like you talked about, man. I cannot allow myself to believe in anything while I'm in the field. Because anything my mind thinks, my body will receive. You see what I'm saying? So when I'm playing, so if I'm being physical with a guy on the football, I'm talking about at the line of scrimmage. The ball ain't even coming to me. I'm just going to be busting your ass anyway, just because that's what we do out here, right? So I'm hear you. And the guy's like, man, cool, that's you leave. I'm acting like he's just yelling. I'm like, hey, why? This is going to happen every day. I'm constantly trying to mess with his mind. I'm not even raising up. Dude, I'm not even hyped. I'm going to do this every day. If you're going to stand up on me, right over top of me, you're going to feel me. Back your ass up. Let me take the pass, feed my kids. Then we're going to be good. We'll be good. But if you're going to keep coming up here, then I'm going to do these things, you know. So I'm trying to always get in the man, get in the head, get in the mindset. That's part of the game. That's part of what we do. That's part of what we talk about. The hand-to-hand, man-to-man combat. That makes it so great.
Before I talk, I was going to bring up Islam versus Volkanovski. Let's just talk about that real quick. I always said I'm not going to root against, not pick against Volkanovski because he always surprises me. But, man, this is a tough matchup for Volkanovski.
It's a very tough matchup.
I mean, you know, and I'm usually going to go with the short, bald guy. But, but I don't know, Michael. That's a tough fight for Volkanovski.
Oh, got some fight in though, man. Hey, man, listen, I love Bless. You know, I love Bless, man. I love Bless, man. But watching that fight, watching him go at it, boy, I was like, woof. I ain't think nobody could be Bless that many times in a row. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, whoa, that too. That dude got, he's one of them dudes who, you know, man, you are, sometimes you meet a dude that you're like, I don't know if I really want to fight this dude. Because it's that crazy mug, man. Just that you don't know. You know what I mean? You know, if I'm going to fight him, we got to be all in. This is going to be a no-stopper. Ain't no, you know what I mean? Ain't no way out of this. We got to be both ready to just, damn it, die. Because that's what it's going to take to come out of this right here. And that's what Volkanovski gives me. You got to be ready to die to go in and beat that dude because he has that kind of heart.
The grappling is going to be too much, I feel. I think he's going to be not one, he's going to be bigger. And if you look at Islam's takedowns, they're really a thing of beauty. If you watch some of his highlights and watch his fights, he doesn't just like muscle a guy down. It's pretty to watch. It's not just big double legs. It's like foot sweeps and really well-timed takedowns that he's used to doing to bigger guys. So for him on the flip side of that, being a short guy, short guys are good with little limbs at getting back to their feet. So I like that Volkanovski goes, everybody calls me a short guy and mentions my height until they get hit by me. That's what Volkanovski says. So it is interesting, but I'm going to say definitely an uphill battle for Volkanovski.
Well, it's almost like when Israel went up.
When I hear you talk, I get asked a million questions. But even at the Alessandra, how do you pronounce his name? Ian, when he went up in class, the boxer, remember the guy that had?
Adesanya against Jan Blachowicz?
Yes.
Blachowicz beat him because he kept taking him down and putting that weight on him.
Yes.
Putting that weight on him. You think if Alessandra could have stayed up some kind of way, he had a chance of winning that fight?
Oh, do I think so?
Was it just too much of a weight difference? See, that's what people understand when somebody steps up in weight. You know, we talked about McGregor. McGregor was stepping up in weight to go against Diaz and all. When somebody step up in weight, how much does that change? And that's the area that I would say changes, because when you start grappling with a heavier dude like that, that has to drain you.
In fairness, though, with Diaz also fought at 155. So Diaz, in most of his career, he won Ultimate Fighter at 155. Right. So if he fought a legit 170er, 170-pounder, welterweight, that's when you say, all right, he is a lightweight going up fighting a welterweight. Him and Diaz.
Dude that came down from 200 pounds to 170.
Exactly.
He goes from 155 up to 170. Right.
Israel Adesanya, you know, Jan Blachowicz is not making no 185. You could cut a leg off. He's not making it. So the weight difference.
I
applaud Adesanya because the risk for trying to do that versus reward is, I mean, people right now, he lost to Jan. Yeah, but
he was undefeated and he did that. He took that risk undefeated.
He came out of it. He might have been outpointed. He came out unscathed. So it just shows you, all right, look, he lost on takedowns, but do you really think this guy is, does it really diminish, does it really hurt his reputation and his legacy? I don't think so, man. The guy's risking greatness. And he didn't go up there and get his butt handed to him.
I thought that fight hurt Jan Blachowicz more than it hurt Adesanya, even though he won it, because he was the champion, he was a heavier champion, and he put him down, but he didn't do any real damage. Had he put Adesanya away, had he submitted him, I think that would have looked great for Jan. But the fact that he was only able to outpoint him by laying on him, I don't think looked great for Jan.
Yeah. You're right. And especially since we want to see the big blow. We want to see if you that big, you should hit the little guy and he wilt. That's just it.
Oh, yeah, and a good point from our producer, Jake the Mighty. Volkanovski used to walk around like over 200 pounds as a rugby player. So it is, he's not like a little shorter guy. He is a little fire hydrant of a man, you know?
Yeah.
But, hey, I have to bring up Beneil Dariush.
Beneil Dariush, yes.
Beneil, I mean, Gamrot was like, he thought this was his coming out party. You know what I mean? He's like, yo, I'm going to take out Beneil and I'm going to take his spot. Before you know it, I'm fighting for the title. Beneil said, not up in here. Beneil looked amazing. Beneil was not accepting. All right, I'm getting taken down by this stud wrestler. Guess what? Funky rolls. Granby rolls. Rolling for leg locks. Not settling. Not letting him settle. I'm going to threaten. Guess what? I'm winning the scramble and back up. And if you saw it taking the toll on Gamrot. And then he was shooting underhooks and just, I can't say enough about Beneil.
Yeah.
Beneil's just a people think because when he gets on the mic, he talks about religion and Jesus, that I don't think they realize how dangerous
he saw.
Yes, right? Exactly. He's a beast. Right. I noticed, Michael, I noticed when they brought his wife and his daughter in, when he's about to get interviewed, he was basically like, yeah, good to see you, but he was still in fight mode. He was still like, okay, good to see you. Get off to the side. He's channeled in, and even though I'm looking forward to the Volkanovski fight, that's cool. I would much rather see Beneil Dariush fight by Islam, because where are they going to go? Everywhere is where they're going to go.
Right.
Standing on the floor. Woo! I want to, that's the fight I want to see now.
Yeah.
Man, you know what? I love that too. When you talk about it, when they zero in, I'm going to tell y'all something, man. It's so funny because the hardest time I think I've ever had in my life is when I did Dancing with the Stars. You know, I tried Dancing with the Stars, right? I don't know why I tried. And I lasted 7 or 8 weeks. I remember Bruno telling me, Michael, you like the economy. We keep waiting on you to get better. And nothing happens. And I was like, oh, my God. He was killing me. But before we go out and dance, I would always go peek around because I hung out during that time for those 6, 7 weeks with Chuck Liddell a lot. You know what I mean? My dude, man. I love Chuck, man. I love Chuck. Ice, man. Chuck. And man, I would watch with Chuck go before the dance. And Chuck just goes into this. I was like, oh my God. And I thought to myself, that must be where he goes before a fight. Let me just go over here, wait till he get finished dancing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I learned that it's the same focus. It's just a different thing, man. It was incredible to watch because I was just such a big Chuck Liddell fan to see that.
And also another fight too that we should mention is 15-0. Sean Brady took his first loss. Bilal Muhammad, another guy like Beneil, who's very overlooked and very underrated. And I don't know why these guys are. It was like Leon Edwards for all those years. We screamed about Leon Edwards not getting a shot. But Bilal Muhammad is 22-3, and I think he gets very, very overlooked.
Bilal Muhammad, yeah, I like Bilal Muhammad too, man. He has some fight in him too. Wait, what's his record now?
22-3, and he stopped him in the second round of TKO, which I thought was slightly premature. Matt did not agree, but it was still, he definitely deserved to win the fight, but I thought they should have let that go a few more seconds. But then again, it's not me getting punched in the face, so it's easy to say as a fan.
I thought it was a good stoppage.
And let me ask this too, though. When are we going to, because I like Bilal Muhammad. I think he's a beast. And I saw him do something with his trainer or something. I saw on one of the
Habib was, he was with the Habib camp.
Oh, that's what I saw. When I saw the fight, I saw him in one time. He picked somebody up and took him all the way over the other side and slammed him down. I was like, oh my God, the dude walked across the ring. You know, and that blew my mind when I saw it. But let me ask you guys this. I know we don't have much time, but I'm just so crazy about it.
Let's go.
Dude, when are we going to see John Jones again? I want to see John Jones fight again. I don't know why this has gone on this long. I know John and Dana go, and I love Dana. Dana's my dude, man. I call Dana. I text Dana. I love him, you know. But why can't I see John Jones back in the fight in October?
What do you think, Matt? I think that also the guys at the top of the heavyweight division are just murderers, and I think John maybe wanted to bulk up. Maybe knowing that getting hit by a Francis or a Cyril Gaon or even a Stipe or a Derek Lewis.
Right.
I'm guessing he wanted to bulk up, but they say he's going to fight Stipe. I want to see him fight Cyril Gaon. That's the fight I would love to see.
Oh, Stipe, that's the fight you want.
You want Stipe? I want to see Cyril. I like that style matchup between him and Jones.
I don't know about Ngannou. I heard all this Ngannou stuff. I don't even want when I saw Ngannou hit Overeem, the way he hit Overeem, Allison Overeem, I'm like, no, John, you better not mess with none of that. Leave that alone right there. You know what I'm saying? Leave that alone. I've seen enough people catch John over his career that if Ngannou catches you like that, it's over. You can stop that right now.
There is a path to beat Ngannou. If Stipe figured it out, Cyril Gaon almost figured it out. If you can get a hold of him and somehow take him down, he's still not strong enough as a grappler.
But he still fought. Now, even as Stipe fought, I know he's not strong with grappler, but when he got up, it's like, okay, now I love Black Beast. But now you take Black Beast down, you can see how tired he is and his cardio gets on. And Ngannou kept coming. I knew he was tired.
Yep.
I knew he was, and I said, okay, but he keeps coming. And I like that. I said, oh, okay, he's still swinging. You know what I mean? So yeah, I don't know, it's just interesting. I would love, I just want to see John back in the octagon. I want to see John back in the octagon.
Yeah, definitely.
Whenever we bring up Cyril Gaon and Francis, I have to point out that Francis didn't so much as win that fight as Cyril Gaon gave him that fight in that last round. It came down to the fifth round. Cyril Gaon got him down like a baby, and he got him down by single leg. And then what did he do? He laid down with a leg lock, and then he lost that. He gave that round, and then just gave the belt.
That was the fifth round, right, Matt?
Oh yeah,
that was the fifth.
So,
yeah,
a major laces out moment for him. We didn't mention blonde fighter came up a little short.
Caitlin Chookagian, yeah.
Yes, versus Manon Fiorot.
Yeah, Fiorot. Yeah,
Fiorot. Manon, I'll tell you, that girl, she brings the heat, you know. And blonde fighter, just I was expecting maybe a little bit more grappling. Maybe I thought that would be the difference,
yeah.
But it wasn't. So, you know, respect to Manon. That was a great fight.
All right, Michael. Listen, I know you're pressed. You have a schedule to keep too. I want to thank you. I'm so happy you were able to be on with us for this long. You're one of my favorite people. So anytime you want to come on, please. We love you, and anytime you're welcome to come back.
I appreciate it, guys. I appreciate you letting me come on and chop it up, man. Just a guy that loves the sport, man. Love watching it, Matt. Man, got all the love and respect for you, buddy. And the footprint you have left in the sand. In this game, buddy, I honor it, man.
Thank you so much, Mike.
I appreciate you. Man. Thank you guys for giving me.
You're so enthusiastic. We love having you on because we know it's real.
Anytime, Michael.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. I appreciate it. Stay up, guys. God bless.
All right. Be good, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, Michael.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The great Michael Irvin. And you know, Matt, we neglected to mention that footprints that he was talking about, it was then that I was carrying you.
Jimmy.
See? How much do you love Michael Irvin?
Jimmy, he's such a great guy.
Happy that man has made me in my life? Oh, he's the best.
He makes me happy every time I talk to him. He's like very, He's got a very great, and he's got a fantastic energy about him. Jimmy, I thought the other day when I was at your house, first of all, thank you.
Of course, right. It was so good to have you.
But I thought in my mind, I thought we had our first at a so long knowing
you. Oh, that's funny.
I thought we had our first awkward moment where I felt uncomfortable and I wanted to apologize to you. But meanwhile, you're a comedian and you were joking.
Here's what happened.
You know what's going on.
100%. We were on the couch.
I felt so awkward. I never feel awkward. I felt like I hurt you.
No, we were on the couch talking and joking around, and Matt tickled me.
Yeah.
And he just tickled me. And I said, I don't like being tickled. I don't like being, but I was completely kidding. Because to me, that was funnier.
You went to the camera, you go, cut that out. Make sure you cut it out. I just don't like being tickled.
Which, of course,
I was touched. I don't know what you said, but you said, I just don't like being tickled. And also in my head, because I know like you could be a little pervert and something, like maybe something happened to Jimmy. And first of all, I might have had a little oregano on my I came over with a little something.
I think that a little something. It was literally like something that fell out of the back of fucking Cheech and Chong's van. And Matt, I didn't even know you thought that. We're outside talking, and Matt's using oregano. And he goes, hey, I felt a little awkward. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I didn't even know what you meant. I'm like, I was totally kidding. Like, if you didn't say that, it never would have registered to me. I don't want them to cut that out.
Marissa, the girl there, the producer, also was like, oh, she thought you were serious too. You're a good actor, Jimmy.
Thank you. But I
got quiet. I'm almost like, look, I got Jimmy.
Oh,
it was weird. It's okay. But in my mind, I'm like, I left being like, that was so much fun. I go, except for that awkward. Oh, wait, it wasn't really awkward because Jimmy. So in my mind, it wasn't an awkward moment now.
It wasn't an awkward moment at all. I was deadpanning because to me, that was the funnier way to do it. When you're tickled, just to go, I don't like being tickled.
I know.
But that was a more funny. No, it was not even.
You got me back when I was, look at your terrace. And you were looking and I was sneaking cookies and you're answering me.
And it worked. It worked.
It did work.
I'm so stupid.
You're like, that's just my terrace. What are you? I'm eating cookies over your shoulder. We had fun, Jimmy.
That was great, dude.
Have fun with those watch parties. You know, let's do it every UFC.
I would love to do more. I don't think that they've asked us enough. I think that we should be asked to do another one. I would like to do another UFC watch party.
I know you want to do it at my place one day.
I would love wherever you want. I like you coming here. I like hosting you.
It'll be me, you, and Edwin. Do I look seem like a degenerate when it's us on the on your terrace and I'm just smoking a pound of weed and you're just like hanging out and
talking to you.
I like to smoke a little bit. You think I like to smoke a little bit? Am I like a rap star?
I it's crazy how I was hanging out with Snoop. That's who I was hanging out with, fucking Snoop Sarah. Yeah.
But I'm very proactive on it, don't you think?
Yes, you are. You're really like Rogan in the sense that you guys are not like, when I smoked pot, I was dead and paranoid. I got hungry and scared. You and guys like you and Joe will fucking do jujitsu on it. Like, I don't function that way. You function very well on it. I didn't.
We have so much fun.
It was great, dude. We'll do it again soon.
I hope so. What a great show.
Yes. Thank you to Michael Irvin, who we really do love. He's just great.
Oh, yeah. He's so great. And I'm going to talk to you in a couple of days, man. Congrats to Aljamain Sterling.
Yes.
Islam Makhachev. You know what
Amazing.
I mean?
Amazing.
You know, they're great. I mean, Aljo, please, everybody, give the guy respect. Give the guy respect. Fucking Dillashaw threw a kick. He caught that thing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, they're never fighting again. Because it was, even if he had all his limbs totally intact, it's still not going to be competitive.
And that fight, even if Dillashaw was hurt when he went in, he still made the decision to go in. And a lot of guys, and look, Alistair Overeem went in and fought after he'd been vomiting and shitting on food poisoning, and he won in the first round. So when you go into that condition, you know what you're doing. And Aljo did exactly what he should have done, which was, it was a mauling. It was a mauling.
I understand DC, he's got a job to do. He's in New York. But my point is, DC knows as well. Very rare. I mean, I'll point out some of my. Would you respect me if I go, oh, Jimmy, I lost this fight because really? Because don't tell nobody, but I had this torn and that. Dude, how about this? A lot of times it might be the truth. You want to be on top of a mountaintop saying, but this, I could have done better, but I had this or I had that. But you don't do it. You don't fucking do it because you saw in that line, the dotted line, I'm going to meet you on this date. I'm going to fight. And guess what? If that was that big of a fucking injury, put someone else in. Put someone the fuck else in. Oh, what? You gave it a shot. You were telling everybody beforehand, hey, listen, man, I got something to tell you. Built-in excuse. Go F yourself, cheater.
Yeah. Hey, look, if I bomb, nobody wants to hear why I bombed. They just know I bombed. Nobody wants to hear, well, yeah, but the mic wasn't as good or the crowd was talking. Even if those things are true, they don't care. I bombed. Oh, by the way, I forgot. New Year's Eve, I'm going to be in Levity Live in upstate Nyack. Come see me New Year's Eve, 30th and 31st. I cannot wait. My first time there in years.
Oh, what are you? That's, where is it at? No,
it's west, like right above, it's in Nyack, New York. It's about 30 minutes from the city. Yep.
Club? Oh, so people are going to go like on New Year's Eve to like a comedy club and go, ah, let's.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah. That's absolutely.
Wow, Jimmy. Oh, man. Well, listen, dude, thank you so much for having me. Congrats to everybody. Especially, I'm biased with Aljo, but I'm so proud of him. And boy, his jiu-jitsu looked amazing, huh?
It was fucking great. Yeah. What a great, great night.
Great guy. All right, listen to me. I will see you in a couple of days, my bird.
All right, see you, pal. See you soon.
Bye, Jimmy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.